For our second scripture reading, we have Philippians 4, 10 through 14. Philippians 4. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. We'll call on Adam.
Thanks, Brian. Well, contentment. When we think of being content or in that state of contentment, what do we think of? Well, we might think of somebody relaxing in a hammock with not a care in the world, just laying back peacefully, maybe a cold drink, maybe nobody else around, shaded from the hot sun with a nice breeze. Or maybe we think of Ferdinand the Bull, which, like I've said, I've watched that movie a lot here recently. Ferdinand the Bull, under his favorite cork tree, sitting just quietly, smelling the flowers. Yet true contentment does not depend on one's circumstances or surroundings alone. It is deeper than that. It's an attitude, it's a way of life that we develop. In fact, contentment, as well as envy, fit well with humility, which we studied last week. When someone is humble in an unhealthy way, so that is that they don't think that they are better than others because they see themselves as nothing, so they're putting themselves down. They have a very low view of themselves. It's more likely then from that standpoint that they might look at others and become envious of them for who they are or for what they have. But when contentment and true humility go together, a person can be very satisfied with who they are and with what they have, and they find that they have no need to be envious. They have no need to be prideful either. Contentment is a form of gratitude and appreciation. It is appreciating what one has and thanking God for that. Now, one of the struggles that I've had with contentment here recently is being content with my children. And specifically, at least what I'll share this morning, has to do with our newborn twins. And they're great, don't get me wrong. They're healthy, they're just as they should be. Yet newborn babies are really hard. The first few months, babies, even though they're growing a lot, they don't really seem to do very much. And so I'd look forward to that time when they're a little bit older and they're sleeping better and they're a little more smiley and they coo and they're responsive. And in some ways, that did give us a goal to kind of move towards. And now at three months, we're seeing a little bit more of that. But also, that led to being a little bit less content just with where we were with these tiny little babies. I wanted something more. I wanted something different than what we had with them. Now, one thing that helped me through this time and helped me to be more content was, or I should say still is, Philippians chapter 4. The church in Philippi, whom Paul is writing to, has been generous in supporting Paul in his ministry. Paul did not demand this from them, but the Philippians saw this need of his, and they gave to him freely. Paul receives this gift graciously, expresses his gratitude to them, and also assures them of his contentment, with or without this gift. Now, he's writing this letter while he is imprisoned, which is not necessarily the best place to be. That's definitely not sitting in the hammock in the shade. And we know also that Paul experienced more than one arrest and imprisonment. He experienced persecutions, shipwrecks. And despite all these things and more, he says that he has found contentment in each and every circumstance, whether in little or in plenty. To have little or to be in need is to have the humiliation of being in want, is a way to look at being in need. To have plenty is to have more than our present requirements. Paul knows the secret of being well-fed or hungry, of having plenty or being in need. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So doing all things through Christ who strengthens me is about contentment. It's not about achievement, as we often may look at it. Now, yesterday, during the meat grinder bike ride, Ken Landis and I were talking about this. We had plenty of time to talk. We were discussing this, and he said to me, "But I need this to be about achievement. I need that encouragement to get through this ride." This morning, I'm thinking I need that encouragement just to be able to walk up the steps here. But however, this is about contentment. It's not about achievement alone. We can be content in each and every circumstance because it is Christ strengthening us in all things. We don't need to be envious if someone else can eat whole foods while we eat canned foods. We don't need to be envious if someone else has a new wardrobe for each season while our clothes are becoming worn out. We don't need to be envious if someone else has a huge circle of friends and we have just a few. If we don't need the newest, biggest, best things, that is okay. Through the strength of Christ in our lives, we can be content with what we have and with who we are. We can be grateful and appreciative of the things that we have and how Christ will sustain us no matter what we encounter. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't bring our concerns or our desires to God. Earlier in Philippians 4, Paul writes, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So do not worry sounds like another way of saying be content, right? But in all things, so if you do begin to worry, or if things are becoming difficult, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, so there we have that gratitude again, we are to bring our requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and again, the peace of God surpassing understanding, another form of contentment, will guard your hearts and minds. It will give you strength to continue. And I think, too, that this is where the spiritual practice piece that we're doing in these services during this sermon series, I think that becomes very important and very pertinent. We need to slow ourselves and even stop sometimes to remember and dwell in God and find our contentment in Him. We may have heard it said that there's nothing that we can do to make God love us less, and that is true. But there is also nothing that we can do to make God love us more. His love is perfect, and His strength is perfect. If we but dwell in Him, we find our true self with no need to desire to be anything other than what God has made us and what God has given us. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, speaks to contentment and being content in what God gives to us. And I'll read that. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' So he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The laborers who worked all day expected, when it was their turn to be paid, that they would receive more than those who had only worked for part of the day, even though they had agreed to the same amount. They saw what the others were given, and they became envious. They could have been grateful for what they were given, appreciative of the landowner for what they were given. As followers of Christ, we might become jealous of what others receive from God as well. Or we may be jealous of those that turn to God later in life and seem to be as close to God then as someone who has been with God for their whole life. But there's no need for any of this. God has given to all generously. And that we can receive his love at any point in life is a gift to be grateful and appreciative of. Contentment rather than envy brings peace, and it brings wholeness into our lives. We can be envious and bitter, or we can be content and satisfied in who we are and what God has done for us. Contentment brings gratitude and appreciation for the things that we have and connects us with God, who gives us all that we truly need. The secret to contentment, as Paul says it, is that we have the strength of Christ in all things and at all times in our lives.